It wouldn't be just you allow us to learn, but that you would teach us this morning. Pray that you would soften our hearts, you would open us up, and grow us in ways that we wouldn't expect. We pray that you would reveal areas that are in need of growth to us. And we ask that we would handle your word with care, and that you would use this time for your purpose. We commit it to you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Ruth is one of those very just pure and simple books in the Bible. There aren't many really very, very complex things happening in the book of Ruth, which is why I really enjoy reading it. If you had the opportunity this week to start reading Ruth, I would suspect that you probably finished reading Ruth, because it's not very long. It's one of those books that even non-Christians enjoy. Thomas Paine, who was far from a Christian, in his famous work, Age of Reason, he wrote this about the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth is an idle, bungling story, foolishly told, nobody knows by whom, about a strolling country girl creeping slyly to be with her cousin Boaz. Pretty stuff indeed to be called the Word of God. It is, however, one of the best books of the Bible. And it is one of those just gems. Pure, simple truth comes from the book of Ruth. I'll be honest with you. This message is going to be somewhat simple. Sweet. Yes. As I started last week looking at Ruth. No, excuse me. I started studying last week for today's message. Oh, this is great. And I'm looking, I'm reading, and I'm studying, and I'm really, really getting my hands dirty in the text. In Hebrew. And then I stop. And I realized, oh my, we're not studying 1 Samuel. And the reason why I was confused for a moment, and I knew this in the back of my mind, but it slipped my mind. The reason I was confused is because in the Hebrew Bible, the book that comes after Judges is Samuel, not Ruth. In our English Bibles, Ruth is the next book. In the Hebrew Bible, Ruth is right after. Does anybody know what book it was right after? It's right after the book of Proverbs. Now think with me. Why would Ruth follow Proverbs in the Hebrew Bible? Because chronologically speaking, that's not where it goes. Anybody want to take a guess? Think about Proverbs. Because R comes after P. Good. No. No. Good guess. But really not. No. Okay, so Proverbs. Think of Proverbs. How many chapters are in Proverbs? 31 chapters in Proverbs. Proverbs 31. 31. Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 is all about what? The virtuous woman, the godly woman. Following this chapter on the godly woman, the Hebrews put appropriately the book of Ruth, because she is the embodiment of the excellent wife, the godly woman. Well, I think that's really cool. In our Bibles, we find Ruth following Judges. That's because, well, start with me, chapter 1, verse 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So why would Ruth be right after Judges? Chronologically speaking, this happens during the time that the book of Judges was written. So it happens to be probably chronologically speaking better placed here. Maybe theologically speaking it's better placed after Proverbs. I'm not going to argue that though. That doesn't matter. We still can learn from it where it is, and I'm glad we're in it today. So let's start reading together. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab. Pause. Benjaminite, somebody from Benjamin of the left hand, as you recall from last week, goes to Moab. Moab is on the east side of which river? On the east side of the Jordan. History lesson. Where did the people of Israel wander for 40 years? The answer is east of the Jordan. When they conquered Jericho, it was the first city they came to after they crossed the Jordan River. So they cross the river, they take Jericho, and they're in the Promised Land. So being in the Promised Land, being in the land that God said, you're going to go here and I'm going to give you this land, was the east side. Am I saying that right? The west side, excuse me. The west side of the Jordan. Well, apparently this guy from Bethlehem, traveled across the Jordan to go to Moab. He probably actually went below the Dead Sea. And so, in other words, he went where? Where did he go? He went east out of the Promised Land. He went out of the Promised Land. Should he have gone out of the Promised Land? He should have stayed right where he was, because God said, I'm going to provide for you. I will be your protector. I will be your strength. I will be there for you. And this guy went to Moab of all places. Now, Moab is a word. If you were familiar with this time period, you would say, what? Moab? You would hiss at that. Moab, he went to Moab, our number one enemies. This would be the number one enemy of Israel. This would be the people that we hate. We hate them. They're wicked. They're wicked people. The Moabites were very wicked. Very wicked. As far as wickedness goes, they were one of the best. Just brutal, horrific. There were some groups that were a little bit more horrific, which we're going to talk about later down in a few weeks. But Moab was bad. We have inscriptions, historical inscriptions from the time period, showing the brutality of the Moabites in battle. They were really something. They didn't stop at just killing people. It was bad. So this guy went to Moab. Immediately, the reader, we should say, how could you go to Moab? But he did. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. And they went into the country of Moab. Ah! Again, you hear that word? You're supposed to burn. Shh. Moab. And remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died. Well, duh, you're in Moab. And she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. Okay, going to Moab was bad enough. But this family took Moabite wives? Two of them? Two women from these wicked hiss. Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah and the name of the other Ruth. They lived there about 10 years. And both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Well, you're in Moab. You shouldn't have gone there in the first place. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return to the country of Moab, They were in Moab. They had to go from Moab. I don't like saying that word. For she had heard in the fields of that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. Duh, you should have been in Judah to begin with. Why did you leave? And we are appropriately reading this book now. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return of each of you to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. Oh, the Moabite women are weeping with this woman from Bethlehem. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." You know, it really... Your Moabites, just go home, because this is kind of a fiasco to begin with. Naomi's probably thinking, really, it's okay, go home. I don't want to have to deal with you. But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands?" In other words, I'm too old to have a kid. They're not going to be your... I can't give you anything. "Turn back, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons," verse 13, "would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying?" No, please don't do that. "No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter for me. For your sake, the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." No, the Lord has not gone out against me. You went out against the Lord in Moab. But whatever. Verse 14. "Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her." Ruth is like, no. I mean, she grabs her. It's this picture of like, she's on the ground holding her legs saying, "No, I won't. I can't. I don't want to go away from you." So the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. Oh, I'm sorry, verse 15. She said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her own people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there will I be buried." This is perhaps the sentence that sets the tone of this book. Underline that sentence. Ruth says, "I'm not going to go back to that people. Your people are my people. Your God is my God. Your house is my house. Where you die, I'm going to die. I am yours, Naomi." It's a confession of faith. Straight up. There's no getting around it. Ruth confesses the one true God as the one true God. Continuing in verse 17, "May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said, "No more." Okay. All right. It's as if Naomi just didn't have any more breath. She was so exhausted and really kind of probably irritated with Ruth, but I can't kick her off my leg. So, come on with. So the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. Why do you think they were stirred? Huh? She's a Moabite. What? What? Naomi's back and she's got... Who is it? She doesn't look right. What's going on? Who is that? What is she doing? Is she coming to corrupt us? What's going on? And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the woman said, "Is that Naomi?" And she said to them, "Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Lord has been bitter to me. I am a bitter woman. Oh, dear me. Feel bad for me. I went to Moab." Mara means bitter. Has dealt very bitterly with me. Verse 21, "I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? Hey, pause. Naomi, you got this woman with you. You're not empty. She's not empty, is she? She's got this tag along. Which, well, I went away full and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has brought calamity upon us? Oh, such harsh words. Have you ever felt like that? God is not my God. Look at what He's done to me. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite... Ah! Did you hear it? Ruth the Moabite. Here's a little note. Is it necessary to say that she's a Moabite here? It is not necessary. So the fact that the author puts it there means what? He wants you to be reminded, this is a Moabite, remember? Now Naomi had Naomi returned to the Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of... Oh, from which country? Moab, we already know that. Just stop it. And they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. I love this story. Are you okay with how this is going? Is everybody all right with this? Naomi has this Moabite woman with her. Now Naomi had a relative, chapter 2, verse 1. A relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite, let's hear it. Said to Naomi, let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him. Seriously, Ruth is the only Ruth in this story. Thank you. But you don't have to tell me every time. Okay, in whose sight I shall find favor. And she said to her husband, go, my daughter. Go, my daughter. So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field that belonged to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. And he said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered, the Lord bless you. Here we already have Boaz starting out as what kind of a gentleman? He comes out and what does he tell his young men, his men, his people? I just read it. The Lord be with you. Bless you. So we have a picture immediately. Boaz is not the kind of guy that these other two, three guys were who went to Moab. The Lord bless you. Then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? Notice he didn't say, whose Moabite is this? He said, whose young woman is this? And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, she is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of... Seriously? It's like salt in a wound. She said, please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers. So she came and she continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest. So they've been watching her. They're watching this woman because why? She's a Moabite. What is she? Is she stealing stuff that's already on the stock? She's only supposed to get it if it's on the ground. Okay, watch her. Watch her. Watch her. Boaz is like, who is that young lady? She's the Moabite from Naomi. Then Boaz said to Ruth, he comes to Ruth and talks to her. Now listen, my daughter. My daughter. Such tender words. Not listen, you Moabite. My daughter. Listen, my daughter, do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. You can be part of my family. Go to my women, my young women. Why does he tell her to go to the women and not his men? Mix in. She's going to be a lot more comfortable with women, right? She's a Moabite. She's only thing she's good for, as far as the Hebrews know, is she's good for her body. Just be with my women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. In other words, don't worry I will protect you. Let your eyes be on the field. You don't have to worry about men. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you?" So even at this moment, Boaz went, had already talked to his men and said, "You do not touch her." "And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I'm a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her. Not only is she a foreigner, but she's a Moabite. But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." This is beautiful, what's happening. Boaz is just wanting to bless her. He's just blessing her, and the blessing gets bigger. "And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, 'Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine.'" In other words, "I will feed you. I'm not just going to let you take my grain, but I'm going to actually feed you. You can dip in the wine, the stuff that's expensive. Refresh yourself." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain, and she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. Go ahead and let her have what's still growing, like the best. Just let her have whatever she wants. Help her. In fact, don't cut down some just so that she has some." "And also pull out some of the bundles for her and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening, and she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. That's a lot for just gathering. You see, in this culture, there was supposed to leave some grain for those that didn't have any food. You'd leave some, and they would get their meal's worth, and then they'd come the next day and get a meal's worth, and the next day they'd get a meal's worth. Well, here, Ruth is getting enough to take home, to actually make a living. She's living on Boaz right now. Not just Ruth, but who else? Naomi. Verse 18, "And she took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, 'Where did you glean today, and where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you.' So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, 'The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz.'" Boaz? You were in Boaz's field? And he treated you like this? Naomi would have been like, "Boaz! Why?" And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers. He's one that could marry you, and you could be a wife, you could be blessed. This could cause your husband's name to continue on. Boaz is our relative. It couldn't get better than this. The man that would have grace on a Moabite woman is a redeemer." Redeemer. What's a redeemer? A savior, yeah. He's a man. If I were to die in this culture, a redeemer for Julie would be my closest relative, my next closest male relative. And that male relative was to have control over Julie and bless her and cause her to be able to live on. This person might be my brother-in-law, might be my father, might be... It would be somebody close to me would be a redeemer. Well, in this situation, Boaz was a cousin. He was close. He was close enough where they actually knew each other. Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite, again? Come on! Enough! This is significant. the author keeps saying Moabite. Besides, he said to me, you shall keep close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest. In other words, he's going to continue to bless me, Naomi. It's better. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young woman, lest in another field you be assaulted. So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvests, and she lived with her mother-in-law. All right, now here's where the story gets a little tricky, because there's some stupid doctrine that comes from this. It's not there, though. So follow me. And Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, should I not seek rest for you that it may be well with you? Is Boaz our relative with whose young women you were? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash, therefore, and anoint yourself and put on your cloak and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do. And she replied, all that you say, I will do. Again, this shows Ruth's obedience. She's willing to be obedient. Your God will be my God, your people my people. I will do whatever you tell me to do. And she does that for this bitter woman, Naomi. I'm going to do exactly what you tell me. So she washes herself and she anoints herself and she gets her best clothes on and she goes down at nighttime. She goes into Boaz's room and it says she crawls into bed and uncovers his feet and lays down there. Now, well, we look at that and what is the first thing that comes to our mind? Okay, good. Well, this guy's good. That's not what comes to my mind. What comes to my mind is this is a weird, she's trying to seduce him so that he'll marry her? That's not what's happening, however. What's happening is she's telling the world and she's telling Boaz, I am going to cover the nasty part of his body with the best I have. I want to bless him. I want to be his servant. I want to serve you, Boaz. I want to wash your feet. Let me just wash your feet. That's what this is a picture of. This is a picture of her wanting to serve him. It is not sexual. And too many people are like, oh, there's something sexual. Then no. It's just not even close to true. She wants to be his servant. Jesus wants to be the servant in the upper room, so what does he do? He washes the disciples' feet. Is he trying to do something sexual? No. The feet is not, there's nothing good about the feet. So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had commanded her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid down. At midnight, the man was startled and turned over. And behold, a woman lay at his feet. He said, who are you? She answered, I am Ruth, your what? Your servant. Notice, Ruth says, I'm Ruth, your servant, not Ruth the Moabite. All of a sudden, it's a little different. She's the servant. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer. Cover me. Protect me. Redeem me. And he said, may you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. Again, my daughter, those tender words. After having a daughter, I know how tender that is. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, and that you have not gone after young men with either poor or rich. Apparently, Boaz was not the young, good-looking man that we would imagine him being. He says, bless you. I'm old and fat. And you want to serve me? You didn't go after the young hip? Now, my daughter, do not fear, for I will do all that you ask. Now, he's doing all that she asks. He's doing all that the Moabite is asking. For all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. Wow, her reputation is changing. And now it is true that I am a redeemer. Yes, I am your redeemer. I can be your redeemer. Yet there is a Redeemer nearer than I. Remain tonight and in the morning. If he will redeem you, good, let him do it. But if he is not willing to redeem you, then as the Lord lives, I will redeem you. Lie down until the morning. Sleep. Just sleep. Rest. Rest yourself. So Ruth does that. And the story gets, it just keeps getting better. Now, they go out. I'm just going to summarize the next part because we're running out of time. But please read the rest if you've not read it. So here's what happens from on out. Ruth the Moabite needs a redeemer. Naomi needs a redeemer. But she's way too old to have a redeemer. So Ruth is her chance. Boaz is the man for the job. But there is a closer relative. So Boaz sets this meeting up. It's a cool meeting. He sets this up and you know Naomi? Are you a close relative, Naomi? We're both close relatives? Okay, well, she has some property that she needs you to buy. If you redeem this property, you know, you can have it. And the guy's like, yeah, deal. I'm going to redeem it. I want more property. I want more income. Let's have it. And then Boaz is like, oh, by the way, there's a woman involved. And if you do redeem the property, you have to redeem Ruth. And in this culture, if you redeem a woman, she becomes your legal wife, she becomes the woman that is entitled to half your property. So this guy that was going to redeem the property says, I can't redeem her because I don't want my kids to have to split it with this other woman. She's a Moabite. So Boaz says, okay, so you don't want to redeem her? He says, no. You can redeem her. And he's like, all right, deal. And they shake hands. What they do is they trade sandals. And so it's an interesting custom. But Boaz gets permission and he redeems her. He blesses her. He takes her in as his own wife. It is a beautiful love story. This is a beautiful love story because it's a Moabite. The worst kind. But look what happens. Chapter 4, verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the woman said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age for your daughter-in-law who loves you. Who is more to you than seven sons has given birth to him. Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the woman of the neighborhood gave him the name, saying, a son has been born to Naomi. They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. The Moabite woman is David's great grandma. This is earth-shattering for the Israelites. Their chief enemy, the Moabites, they hate them, hiss. Oh, the Moabites. She is a grandmother to David, our greatest king that ever was. King David is a Moabite? Now, this is significant because in the Jewish system, in order for Judaism to be passed on, if you're going to be a Hebrew, your mom has to be Hebrew. It doesn't matter who your dad is, your mom has to be Hebrew. That's how they pass it down, so that it makes sure that the Jews really marry Hebrews. Okay? Well, this case, it doesn't pass down. It's a broken system to the Moabites. This woman is exactly who we would not expect to be in the line of David. More importantly, this woman is not who we would expect to be in the line of Jesus Christ. In fact, this is the line of Jesus Christ. If we went down to Matthew chapter 1, we would see there that Ruth is in the lineage of Jesus himself. David and Jesus. The Moabite. I said this story is pure and simple. Well, here's the simplicity of it. what this story teaches. This is the universal message of this book. And so many people miss it. What this book teaches is that God delights to use the people we don't expect Him to use. He loves to surprise us. The whole time we're reading this, and we should be reading it saying, not a Moabite, not a Moabite. And in the end, it's like God says, oh yes, a Moabite will give birth to your king, Jesus. She is not who we would expect. God loves to use those whom we would not expect. That's it. He delights in it. Listen, there may be groups that you're associated with or that you view and you look at and you're like, that person would never be a good person to walk with Jesus. That person would never be able to bless the Lord. That person is so wicked. And God says, yeah, I used the Moabite woman. God delights in using... Think about your life. You might be sitting here thinking, hey, I am bad. I'm wicked. I'm no good. I can't speak. I'm just a lame-o. And God is like, Ruth, I want to use you. You're the person I want. I don't care about the person up on stage. I don't want the person that's got it all together. I don't want them. I want you. That's the message of Ruth. The person that's got all their ducks in a row, you know, I'm a Pharisee. I got it all taken care of, and I know what I'm doing. I got the Bible. I know that. No. God says, that's not who I delight to use. I want to use a person that's totally messed up. And He does. If you're sitting here thinking, I can't, I got a past that you don't understand. God, okay, maybe He can forgive me, but can He use me? The answer is yes. Not just He can use you. The answer is He wants to use you, period. He wants you. He wants you to be used by Him. You've been through tragedies. Think about Ruth's life. The death. She's always been an outcast. She's been that Moabite woman, that prostitute in a sense. I mean, that's how they viewed her. Like, this is a Moabite. Yeah. Well, God used her. Listen, this is the most important thing I can say. God uses the one who needs a redeemer. God uses the one who needs a redeemer. The person that says, I don't need a redeemer, okay. God isn't going to use you. But when you say, I need a redeemer. I need somebody to save me. I can't, I'm stuck. I'm totally broken. That's the one who God says, I will redeem you. And Boaz redeems Ruth. And in our lives, Jesus Christ, our Savior, is our Redeemer. Through Him, we have redemption. Through Him, we have the forgiveness of sins. And He's calling all of us, this church of broken people, be broken like Ruth. Be broken. Need the Redeemer. Need Him. Because if you don't need Him, okay. That's fine. You'll redeem yourself with your life. Christ already redeemed us with His life. Turn yourself over to Him. Give Himself. Give Him yourself. Please. Please, Lord Jesus, we pray that these words would not fall to the back of the room and drop, but that they would soak into our hearts, that we would realize that You want to use each of us. We pray that if there's any concept that we are the rejects, that we are not worthy, that those would vanish as You have delighted to use the Moabite woman. And so we pray that this message would really, really, really hit home where it needs to. And for those that are in our lives that we think believe this, that they can't be used, that we would bring this message of Ruth to them this week. We pray this in Jesus' name and for His glory. Amen. Yeah.